The Lord says, trust me, not the words of men, because the words of men can lead you astray. But trust me in what I have said in my word, and know that I will honor my word and my promises, and I'll be there for you. I will not let you down. People have already let you down, but I will not let you down. Trust me, follow me, and I will lead you into an area of peace, deliverance, and security for the rest of your life. There's at least one person in here. You feel like you are carrying a massive load. There's a heaviness. And God says it's not your fault. It's not your fault, and you're not the one who's supposed to carry this. But you've been trying to carry it, and you're not supposed to. God says, stop worrying about what other people are going to think about you and focus on what I think about you. For I'm your God, I'm your Father, I am your need meter. Cast the care of this over onto me and let me give you my peace and my relief. But do not carry this any longer. Let it go. Shake the dust off your feet and move on.
I am near to you. I am as near as the whisper of my name. I am as near to you as the whisper of my word. I am always with you. I am in you. I am near to you. I am not far away. I am near to you, as near as the whisper of my name. Do not feel that you cannot reach me somehow with your prayers. I am near to you. I am in you. I am living in you. I am as near to you as the whisper of my name. I never leave you. I never forsake you. I am near to you. I'm always with you. Always. You may walk away. You may stand aside and feel as though I'm not there with you, but I am. I am always with you. I have told you this. I have said it. It's recorded in my word that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You can turn your heart away from me, but I will never turn my heart away from you. I am as near as the whisper of my name and the whisper of my word. So call upon me. Call upon me in the time of trouble. Call upon me in the time when you just want to love on me and to worship me and to honor me. I'm there. I'm in your midst. I am near. I am as near as the whisper of my name.
One of the things that most Christians struggle with is knowing what God wants to do in their life and what He wants them to do. And as I've shared in the past, it would be so much easier if you could just open the Bible, you know, to the book of your name. You know, the book of Cindy, the book of Jim, the book of Bob, you know, whatever. That's not in there. Well, there is the book of James. But there is. But there is no book with your name on it. However, God does have a plan for your life, and He wants you to know that plan. And I know that, you know, when I was growing up in church, I don't ever remember anybody teaching us about how to find the plan of God for your life. And we, we did the best we could. And it may well be that somebody taught about it somewhere along the line. I just either don't remember it or wasn't there that day. However, God has a plan for your life. And the thing is, I don't want to live my life hoping for the best, hoping that I'm doing the right thing. I don't have to. I can know that I'm doing the right thing. And that brings up a question. Well, how can you know that you're doing the right thing? Well, there's a way to know. What we want to talk about tonight is writing the book of your life. Because God has a specific plan for you. And I know that literally, well, I'm confident that there is not a literal, you know, leather-bound parchment book in heaven that has your name on it. Something may be up there, but it may not be exactly the way we think here on earth. Nevertheless, God has a plan for your life. And that plan is separate and individual for you as well as for the person next to you. God does not necessarily put people together as far as marriage is concerned. A lot of people talk about, well, God put us together. And I used to think that. And I'm not 100% convinced of that anymore because of the way some people end up getting married. You know, like Kathy and I met in a bar, and we were both, you know, pretty inebriated at the time. And we shared, you know, this, well, I've shared, she maybe never shared this story, but I've shared this story before. So, you know, God didn't send us to some bar to get drunk so He could put us together. I mean, I'm just goofy. But He knew from before the foundation of the world that we were going to meet. Now, He didn't approve of all the things that went on in our relationship, you know, before we got married, before she got saved, before I recommitted my life to Christ. But He knew we were going to get married. Now, He knew that. So, knowing we would make that decision, He came up with a plan for her life and a plan for my life that included us being together. Well, the plan that He has for your life is for you. And I really believe that a lot of Christians are living in frustration because they don't know that plan. And there's something on the inside that is saying, well, there's more, there's something else. And you're right. If you're sensing that, and it's just like a spiritual on the inside, you know there's just something else. You're right, there is. But there's only one way to find out, and that's to get it from God. You know, nothing else is going to work. Well, if you're going to write the book of your life, and you're going to set the course for your life, you have to do it according to God's words, plural. According to God's words. And there are three ways to receive these words. And I'm going to share all three of these tonight. This is it, what I'm going to share with you. Number one, go ahead and turn over to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And there's a reason that I want you to turn and read these. You know, I was talking to somebody here not too long ago about they were out of town, visited another church. This was a church where, you know, they teach about being born again. As far as I know, they teach about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know, I was there in this church, and I'm looking around. And it was like, nobody had their Bibles. Nobody had their Bibles. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be at the mercy of the person standing behind the pulpit as to whether or not what they're reading is really coming from the Bible? I wouldn't. And you know, what says that in a lot of churches, they almost discourage you from bringing your Bible. Well, thank God it wasn't like that the way I was raised, but for some people that's the way it's been. Well, here in Psalm chapter 119, look at verse 105. Verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Obviously, the connotation here is that the word of God will illuminate the direction for your life. Now look over in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We'll start reading here in verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Well, where he says reproofs of instruction, think of correction. You know, you're headed down one way, but he reproves you to send you off in another direction. Reproofs of instruction. But what's neat here, he says in verse 22, and, you know, just to, you know, categorize it, the Word of God, he says, when thou goest, it, God's Word, shall lead thee. When you sleep, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, now look at this, it shall talk with thee. Speaking of Scripture, number one, God's Word, the Bible, is how you receive God's words. Because in the Bible, God has instruction for Christian living. He has direction and he has, how can I say this? The precepts for living as someone who is born again are all recorded in the Word of God. There's no other book. This is it, right here. Well, he says, when you awake, it, the Word, will talk with thee. Now, this is interesting because the more that you put the Word of God in your spirit, reading it, is the more that you give the Holy Spirit to work with. You can read and read and read and read, and you keep sowing it into your heart. You go to sleep, you wake up the next morning, and I'm telling you, there will be times when you will hear it inside you like you're still reading it. It will speak to you. And let me just say it kind of like this. It's almost like you read, 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 you put it in, feed it to your spirit, You go to bed, you wake up the next morning, and your spirit is confessing it on the inside. To some people that may sound really abstract, but when you have experienced that, it's like, wow, that's cool. It's like, how long has this been going on? It's like, well, how about all night? Your spirit doesn't sleep. Your spirit is eternally awake. Your body needs rest. Your soul definitely needs to shut down and kick back for a while. But your spirit, man, it is always alive on the inside of you. And the more that you put the Word of God in you, the more you're putting the life of God in you, because God's Word is life, the more you are feeding spiritual revelation into your spirit. The more you feed it into your spirit, the more you read, the more you are preparing your spirit, conditioning it to receive instruction from God. You know, I shared, I don't even remember how long ago or how many different sermons or series, whatever, but the Word of God, the Bible, is a revelation of how God thinks. You know, people have talked about, well, you just never know. You know, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our... He said, and that's true, that's in the Bible, but what He's talking about is His way of doing things is different from a human way of doing things. He thinks from a divine perspective, whereas generally speaking, we don't unless we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible is how God thinks. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible is His Word given to us. He had to think it before He gave it to us. So this is the way that God thinks. In other words, when He says things like, you know, well, my word, you know, lamp to your feet, you know, light to your path and all this, what He's telling you, He says, look, my word is going to help seal direction for your life. And the Word of God is a standard that it exists for all believers, not just some. This word right here is the standard for all Christians. So therefore, the more that I get into the Word, the more I'm writing the book of my life. And the Bible is the first way that you receive words from God. You read it, You're reading the same thing I read. You're reading the same thing the person next to you is reading. But it is consistent, and it does not change. So therefore, if you want to write the book of your life and you want to receive direction from God, first and foremost, you've got to get into Scripture. Number two and number three are the ones that are going to cause the most controversy within the body of Christ. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Timothy. We'll read it, and then we'll take a look at it. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. And I found this one very, very unique. Verse 18. Paul is saying, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now look at this. He's saying, Timothy, the prophecies which were... Now, I'm paraphrasing. Timothy, I commit unto you, or I give you an instruction, that you take the prophecies that have been spoken over you, apply them to your life, and by them you're going to be able to war a good warfare. Now, this is interesting, this thing about war a good warfare. What it, the word war doesn't just mean fight. It also means to strategically plan out everything you do. So it's not just a matter of, you know, fighting in a war, but it's also a matter of strategically planning out what you're going to do. Well, relative to spiritual warfare, obviously that would fit in. But it applies to every aspect of your life. So what Paul is saying, and boy, this is... I just looked at this. He's saying, Timothy, there are prophecies that have been spoken to you. Take these prophecies, apply them to your life, because through them, you are going to be able to strategically plan the rest of your life. Now, what does that say about prophecy? You know, over in, you don't have to turn to it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, it talks about that the Holy Spirit will operate through people with prophecy, word of prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So what happens then, it's, you know, it's part of what we call the gifts of the Spirit. What happens is the Holy Spirit moves on somebody, and then that somebody speaks a word to you. It's a word of knowledge, word of prophecy, word of wisdom. One of the worst things we can do is take those and say, well, glory, that was nice, and then go on in life and not think about them again. But according... Now remember, God's the one that inspired Paul to write this. God, by the Holy Spirit, ministered to Paul, and Paul is telling Timothy, prophecies which went before on you. You take these prophecies, you apply them to your life, because through them, you are going to be able to strategically plan your life. In other words, through them, you're going to come to the place of knowing what it is God wants you to do. When to turn to the left, when to turn to the right, when to go straight, do this, do that. You're going to know. Well, okay, hallelujah. Well, now, wait a second. Do you realize what God is saying here? God is saying that it's through prophecies... Well, let me say it like this, and please don't stone me. Through prophecies, through words, like, you know, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy. Through these words, you're able to come up with your own personal Bible. You say, oh, that sounds blasphemous. Well, I said, don't stone me. Think about it. Think about it. If these prophecies come from the same source as the Bible, even though they're not going to be added to the Holy Bible, then should we not, though, still look at them as having the same weight? You know, I never heard of such a thing. Well, apparently it doesn't bother God to think like that, because He's telling Timothy to take these prophecies that went before on you and apply them to your life. Because by them you'll be able to strategically plan My will for your life. I hope you're seeing this. Because too often what we do is we take prophecies and we acknowledge them and we praise God, and a lot of times people flock to services if they think they're going to get a word from the Lord. You know, you let anybody show up and preach who's got a reputation for being used in the prophetic. Everybody shows up, you know, get a word from the Lord. Okay, well, praise God. If you get a word from the Lord, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to handle that? See, what we do here, whenever anybody gets a word, we try to isolate that word and then paste it into a separate, we record everything on a computer, paste it into a separate audio file, burn a CD. I mean, even if that prophecy is only 35 seconds long, burn an entire CD with just that prophecy on it and give it to that person. Why? Because that was God speaking to them. That was God giving them instruction. That was God giving them a revelation. And there are some times when God will give me a word, and I know that it's for somebody, but I don't have a release to identify that somebody, because God doesn't, you know, want to embarrass them or whatever. And what they ought to do is come to me and say, "Can I get a copy of that?" Because on the inside, they know it's for them. Now, I've had people come to me before. "Oh, you know that word that you spoke? Well, it was for me." It's like, well, you need to get a hold of it. If that bears witness with your spirit, you need to get a hold of it. Even if the word, even if the Lord says, you know, we'll call, you know, Susie up here and, you know, give her a word, and I do that. If that word bears witness with your spirit, if there's something on the inside of you saying, "That's for me too, that's for me too," then you need to get it. Because that's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you saying, you know, that person may be the initial recipient or the primary recipient, but this is also something I'm confirming to your spirit is for you as well. Take this for your own life. Take ownership of this word for you. Because in doing so, you're going to be able to strategically plan your life. Think of it like this. Every prophecy that anybody speaks over you is another verse in the chapter of this period of your life. Now again, it'll never make it into the Bible, and we know that because the Bible contains the general instructions for the body of Christ. But these prophetic words are something that God has given to you for you. And it's exactly what Paul's talking about right here relative to Timothy. He didn't say go back to the law and the prophets. He didn't say the Holy Scriptures. He said the prophecies that went forth on you, specifically on you. And I want to show you something that goes along with this. Look over in 1 John chapter 4. And this is very, very critical relative to what we've just seen in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Anytime that you receive a word from God, that word essentially is going to do two things. Number one, it may bear witness with your spirit, but it may also bear witness with your emotions. If somebody comes in, they're giving a prophetic word, and they call you out, and they say, "The Lord is showing me, you know, you're going to come into a great amount of wealth. You're going to have a whole lot of money, and that this is coming up." You don't think your emotions are going to be saying, "Glory, hallelujah. When's Pastor's birthday again? Praise the Lord." Well, sure, your emotions are going to get all excited about that. But It's not about bearing witness with your emotions. It has to bear witness with your spirit. Sometimes a word will be given and your emotions will say, "Oh, that ain't God. There ain't no way that's God." But on the inside, the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit saying, that's God. You better receive that. This is for you. And those sometimes are pretty tough to take, because usually that's where the correction, the instruction, and so forth is coming in. But anytime you receive a word, or anytime that you're in a service and a word goes forth, maybe for someone specifically, or just a word in general, and something inside of you is saying, "Hey, man, I better listen to that. Pray about it." Always, 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 always pray about it and ask God, "How does this apply to me?" And if it's not a word from Him, then He will tell you, "Don't worry about that. It didn't come from me. That's just something that the person got caught up in the flesh and spoke." I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. There are times when I'll just use myself as an example. You know, the Lord quite often will give me a word, either for a person or just in general. We have a bunch of them. And there are times when I can sense that in the congregation there's an expectation that a word will come, or an expectation for a word to come. Well, just because you think a word ought to come forth doesn't mean that a word should come forth. And as a minister, you have to watch out, because you can be standing there at the pulpit and you think, you know, you can tell people are wondering, is a word going to come? Is a word going to come? Is a word going to come? And it can be so easy to say something that sounds good, but it didn't come from God. Likewise, there have been times where I've been up here and I felt like the Lord was giving me a word, but before I speak it, you know, I'm talking to Him about it. Is this really from You? I mean, do You really want me to say this? Because I'm not going to say this if this is not, I need You to, do something here on the inside of me. Let me know if this is of You. And if I don't sense that it's of Him, then I won't do it. I would rather miss God and not give what He wants me to say than say something that didn't come from Him. Because if I say something that didn't come from Him, I'm telling you, that could mess people's lives up. So I would rather be guilty of Him saying, "Why didn't you give that word?" as opposed to, "Why did you give that word?" But anytime a word is given to you specifically, that's a part of God writing the book of your life. However, along with that, anytime a word goes forth that's not necessarily specifically for you, in other words, you didn't get called out and, the Lord's showing me something. If a word goes forth and you are in the service where that word goes forth, then it has value for your life. Somehow it has value. You know, this morning there was a word that went forth about somebody was carrying a burden. You know, you don't need to carry this any longer and so forth. And that may not have applied to any of you who are here tonight. However, that's a word to remember or to keep on record, because something could come up in the near future to where that word will apply to you, to where you're starting to carry a burden that you don't need to. And reading or rehearing that word again can be valuable to you when it comes to moving forward with God. That's why when prophecies go forth, it's very important to get a hold of those prophecies. Now, what I try to do is, and I haven't done this, I haven't been consistent with this, but what I try to do, if there's a prophecy that comes forth in a service, I try to put it on a CD of a sermon. so that either at the beginning of the CD or at the end of it, that prophecy is on there. Like the ones from this morning will be on the CD of tonight's message. That way you hear that. And then if you want to, you can transcribe it for yourself. And I'll get to the transcribing here in just a moment. But you'll have it. Having these words, and let me kind of backtrack for a moment. I never understood the value of this for years. And so I would just sit in services like, well, you know, hallelujah, word came forth. But I never sat back and really thought about the fact that is God taking time out of eternity to slow down to our pace and speak to us. I did not esteem it as being that critical to my existence. Well, now, I mean, I've improved in this. Now I realize these words are important. And, you know, what we've done is, you know, we're working on transcribing every prophecy that we've ever recorded. And, you know, having it all in print form and so forth, which would be a lot, but the thing is, for us, these are valuable. And I know some people, you know, they're way beyond me in this at this point, to where they have a notebook and every word that they can have been able to, you know, put their hands on, transcribed in a book, notebook, and they actually travel with it. And they'll pull it out on the plane and read it, just like other people would read Newsweek or, you know, the newspaper or whatever. They'll read that. Because they know that's God speaking. Now, they don't replace the Bible with it. I don't want to lead you astray here on this. But what I'm getting at is, if God has spoken, that means it is critical to us. I'll give you an example. You know all these lessons from the upper room? Now, you do realize those are prophecies, right? Prophetic words. Now, what I'm getting ready to say, don't anybody, you know, get in condemnation over this. In fact, I won't even look at you when I say it. How many of you have ever asked for copies of those words? Now I'm going to look at you. How many of you have ever requested copies of those lessons from the upper room? Those are prophecies, and some of them are, well, some of them, for me personally, I'll even say some of them carry a greater impact for me personally than others, but they all came from the Lord and they all are critical for me. And you know, like the one that we had this past Wednesday night. That was powerful. I mean, it was the way that the word came out, the way that, you know, it was structured and everything. And I made the comment how that I'm not smart enough to come up with anything like this. And my wife came into agreement with me. She said, yeah, you're not smart enough to come up with it. But, and she's right, I'm not. And I can remember as this was coming through, I was sitting on the back pew. It was on Tuesday night during prayer. And man, I'm just writing. And it took up basically 2 hours worth of, you know, I'd pray and then write a little. And as this is coming out, I'm thinking, man, this is good stuff. This is going to make me look real smart. But you know what I'm saying, right? You understand. It's God. It's actually God revealing how smart I'm not. You see, you can't come up with this. But see, something like that is so very important. And I did share that it would be in my next ministry letter. That'll be the very crux of that letter. But how many of you have asked for copies of those? You say, well, you never told us you'd give them to us. I did it for a reason. I wanted to find out how many people wanted them. It was a test. Remember when I shared here a long time ago, how that we were transcribing prophecies, and we had a whole bunch of them that were transcribed and available. If you would like them, let me know. Now you know whether you ask for them. And you can look at the person next to you and say, you didn't ask for them. I mean, you don't have to, but you could. Now look, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty over this. What I'm saying is that we are learning, okay? We have to come to the place of realizing that these prophecies, though they're not Holy Bible, if it's God speaking, then it's, call it personal scripture if you want. And I know that sounds off the deep end and, you know, why that's heresy and all. But I'm trying to make a point on this. If God, through Paul, is going to tell Timothy, you take these prophecies that have been, you know, spoken over you, and you apply them to your life, because through them, you're going to be able to strategically plan your life, why would the same not be true for us? Well, it would be. They absolutely would be. And I know that there have been times where I've gone back and looked at some of these prophecies that have come forth, and I think, man, the Lord said all of that? Well, I shouldn't be astounded, because I'm as guilty as other people of not going back and reviewing these as often as I should. Well, this is the speaking of the Lord. Now, that's the second way, words through other people. Here's the third way. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And in chapter 16, verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. There at the end of verse 14 where it says, show it unto you, that word show means declare freely and openly. The Holy Spirit will speak to you about you. He knows you. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows everything about you, including God's plan for your life. Now, who more than you needs to know that plan? You need to know your plan more than I need to know your plan. So what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and He will give you revelation. He will give you prophecy to you, for you, that will have to do with your life, the book of your life, the plan that God has for your life, the course that you can set so you can war a good warfare, strategically plan your future. You say, well, you know, I don't really hear God speak too much. The more you pray in tongues is the more the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you, and the more you'll be able to hear Him. Some people are trying so hard to hear Him that they miss Him. You know, how in the world can anybody fall asleep during a loud praise and worship service? But they do. Meaning somehow the body has the ability to tune out all those noises. I mean, babies. You know how babies, they'll sleep through anything. You say, well, how do they do that? Well, it's because the human body has the ability to tune things out. Just like we have the ability to tune God out while we're listening for Him. I'm trying so hard. But I can't hear Him. He's not speaking to me. Wrong. Trust me. There'll be times when He won't speak to you because He just wants you to be in the presence. He just wants you to pray. He just wants you to edify yourself spiritually. But then He is going to speak to you. The more you pray in tongues, just pray in tongues. You know, one of the things that is so dangerous when you try to save a drowning person, I mean, I've never done it, I've read about it. Drowning people flail. And in the flailing, they can drag the person down with them. And I can remember when I was a young child, that happened in the youth group of our church. Gal was in the pool. She started drowning. Somebody went in to save her. She took him down. They both drowned. And if you can just get the drowning person to stop flailing. If you can just get them to relax, you're going to be able to take them ashore. That's the way it is. Just learn to relax. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in tongues. And get your spirit in a place of edification to where you're going to begin to hear Him speak. He will speak to you. Now, these three ways of receiving words from the Lord to write the book of your life, number one, the Bible, number two, words through others, number three, words directly to you. Numbers two and three are going to be the biggest challenge. See, I was raised to not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, word of prophecy, word of knowledge, you know, word of wisdom. We didn't believe those things worked anymore. I was raised and taught God doesn't speak anymore. So, if you don't believe that God speaks, and if you don't believe in these operations of the Spirit, and if you don't believe in praying in tongues to edify yourself, you know what you're doing? You are eliminating two-thirds of the way that God will give you instruction. So what chance do you have? Especially when there is no book of Bob here in the Bible. When you personally are not in here, the entire body of Christ is in here, but when you personally are not in here, and yet you eliminate the ways that He will directly communicate with you, either through somebody else or directly to your spirit, if you eliminate those, what chance do you have? You're now left up to human reasoning. What seems right to you? You're now left up to going to somebody and saying, well, you know, I think this is what God might want me to do. I mean, what do you think? Now, it's not wrong, you know, wisdom, multitude of counselors. I mean, I understand there's nothing wrong with talking things over with people. However, if you've eliminated number two and number three, then I really don't know that you'll ever come to the fullness of understanding God's plan for your life. You may definitely get some of it, but the magnitude of it, I don't think so. Because God wants to talk to you, and He'll do it through other people, and He'll do it to you directly. I know years ago, I just wanted to be called out and given a word. You know how it is, right? Oh, call me out, give me a word, prophesy to me. Make sure it's something good. So everybody will come up to me afterwards and say, boy, you got a good word, didn't you? That's right, I did. Why? What are you going to do with it? And there's so many words that have been given to me over the years that have been lost. And I have some, but not all. And anymore, though, I don't look for that. Because I know that I can pray and God will speak to me. I can get my own word. Now, if the Lord does move and have people call me out, man, praise God for it. I mean, that's great. But I know now that I can pray and He'll speak to me and He'll help me to write the book of my life. And I want to encourage you folks tonight. Number one, get in there and the Bible, read it. Feed it into your spirit because that helps condition your spirit to the way God talks, the way God communicates, and the mind of God because it's a revelation of how He thinks. And then right along with that, words that have come through others, be diligent to steward them. And words that God speaks directly to you, be diligent to steward those as well. Collect them. Keep them in order. Because what He will speak to you in 2 months, He didn't speak to you today because you didn't need next month's word today. You needed today's word today. You understand what I'm saying? So you keep them in order. It's the same kind of a thing as studying Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. God will give you the next line for your life today and the next line the day after. And again, every word that you receive, whether it's like a word in general and you're in that service and you heard it, or a word that is spoken directly, I mean, just think of it in terms of another verse in the chapter for this period of my life. And collectively, this makes up the entire book of my life. It's very, very important. One of the... I won't identify who, by name. I'll tell you, well, anyway, I just want to identify by name, but man, there's one person in this church, I'm preaching to the choir. This person has notebook after notebook after notebook after, I mean, the shelves are full of notebooks from where the Lord has spoken to this person. I'm thinking, holy moly, there's a lesson for old Jimbo. I need to be more diligent about all of this. And one of the things that Satan will do is fight you on this, because he knows how valuable these prophecies are. And he knows this is a part of God speaking to you to seal your destiny in Christ. So number one, the scriptures. Number two, the words that come through others. And number three, these words that God's going to speak to you during your times of prayer. This is how you write the book of your life.